It's funny, you know, Rocky had asked me, I guess, it's been a month or so ago, and I've been reading a book, and the title of the message was going to be Abundantly Well, and about 2 weeks into it, and I kept falling asleep in the garden, like the disciples. I said, okay, Lord, all right, I know that's not what you want to do, but, you know, recently I heard Pastor James Merritt said, you know, deception, that in the last, I think it was the Barna survey, that out of all the people they asked, the thousands and thousands, how many were going to heaven? 120 out of 121 said they were going to heaven. I said, man, tell me that's not deception. So I want to thank God that we have a pastor who stays in the Word of God. And I looked at a survey, Factor, Fiction, or Myth, that only about 59 of the pastors that have been in the pastorship for any length of time have actually read the whole Bible. I said, man, that's talking about being deceived. And of course, you know, I've read through the Bible, I think, two full times, and I've read the New Testament and the Old Testament, but because I'd been reading the Bible this year, this just stuck out of my mind. So let's go to Matthew chapter 15 this morning. Matthew chapter 15. The title of today's message, and I got this because, have you ever had a situation, especially, I'm sure you can relate if you're married, that you say something to somebody and they don't respond. And you'll say, you know, did you hear what I said? Or were you listening to me? You know, but that's biblical. And you know, most of the time I would honestly say, and even somebody will say in the passing by, well, I saw you and I waved. But you know, a lot of times just mentally we're somewhere else. You know, it's not that we intentionally done it. But just the backdrop here, starting in chapter 21, is the title of the day's message is When Jesus Doesn't Seem to Notice You. In other words, maybe you feel like Jesus has his back to you. Maybe this morning, you know, you're frustrated, you're tired. God is not answering your prayers. Maybe you're in need of provision, a divine healing, as Brother David mentioned earlier. And how about those that we know in our families, those that outside the family, that they're wayward, they're lost. They're not seeking the Lord. I mean, those circumstances, you know, God has the answer for that. And that's the good news, it doesn't change. God freed people yesterday, he's gonna do it today, and he's gonna do it tomorrow. The goodness of God never changes. And he really had me emphasize that today, how good he was. And so Matthew chapter 15, and we'll start in 21, but a little backdrop here in the chapter before, Jesus and the Pharisees had a little heated argument, and Jesus had called them hypocrites. They were talking about eating bread with dirty hands, and you know, he was feeding them bread. And then they go into, let me just read it here. He said, I'll back up into Matthew chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. You don't have to put up, Clarence. But anyway, in the communication here, Jesus brought up, you know, that these things here, but they didn't honor their mother and father. But just to get to the point here, it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. It's always important to make sure we have a right heart before the Lord. They had the outward heart, and when we get into this story, the same principle. The religious leaders, they had the outward heart, and you move down a little bit further, you know, the disciples tell Jesus, you know, he said, you kind of upset these guys, He went on to explain to them, it's not what we put in our mouth, but what comes out that reveals our heart. So as we had the little backdrop there, which I could have did a better job, but I figured I should start there. But verse 21, Matthew 15, verse 21. Father, right now, I just want to invite you into this moment, Lord. And Father, I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say. And Lord, Father, the only thing I want you to do is may your word speak to our hearts. Lord, strengthen us, refresh us. Lord, you know what each heart needs, Lord. For Father, may they hear your voice and not mine, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. The book of Matthew is primarily written to the Jewish people. So keep that perspective as Jesus is speaking here, starting in verse 21. It said, then Jesus went out from there and departed in the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Canaanite woman. It's important here because the Canaanites actually were in the promised land and the Israelites forced them out. So she would be considered a foreigner. And Jesus really, you know, Jesus had a purpose in everything, but really in the area that he was right here was about 50 miles north of Galilee. So he really had no reason to go there outside as he had a purpose for his disciples and those around to see this woman's faith. And there's nothing else recorded here in this area, what he did other than this lady here. So it's important to remember her. She had no standing here. She had no, you know, she's a complete outsider, and especially being a woman. And that nation served a lot of foreign gods. So, you know, and I kind of relate to this, and I believe the Lord impressed this on my heart because we had people that come to this nation that fled England. They, you know, they come here to start a new land. And I thought about that because, you know, when godly people come in, just like the promised land for them, you know, God, you know, unfortunately other people were forced out, but it was God's in control. And even though we may not understand all of that, God had a purpose in developing and this nation, the United States of America. So I'm just grateful that we get to be a part of this nation. I never make light of every day that I get up that he's allowed me to be born here. And what a responsibility we have to share the good news. Darlene and I were talking a couple weeks ago. We've gone from sandals and no transportation to AI. I mean, it's amazing. If you don't believe the Bible, it's almost impossible. And when you read the Bible, what's taken place over 2,000 years. She cried out. She was annoying. She was screaming. She was shouting. As some of the Greek and the Hebrew would cry out here, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. O Lord, son of David, only the Jewish people would have said that. And not only that, this is only the second time in Scripture here in the New Testament that this was even said. And this is from somebody, this is from an outsider. She certainly had heard the Old Testament or she had heard the good news, but there was something in her heart that she believed that went beyond what the even at this point, even the disciples knew. But anyway, she said, have mercy on me. She's not even asking for healing for her daughter. She's asking for leniency and compassion here. She says, son, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. My daughter is severely demon-suppressed. Man, my heart goes out to lost those that, you know, they're just, their kids are wayward, their family members. It's a shame sometimes that we don't understand why they've taken that path, but there's a choice. And I read a little article about, and the reason I bring this up about being severely demon-possessed, it can be drugs, it can be, you know, all this new transgender, regardless of what it is, a liar, a deceit, it doesn't make any difference what it is. But there was a question asked in this little article, and it said that if God were going to give you everything you had ever prayed for, everything, but he had one requirement. The first thing he was going to research is how many people you had prayed into heaven. And I said, wow. I said, ain't that something? I said, that's amazing. So let's be mindful to keep praying. Never stop praying. Pray without ceasing, as the Bible says. But here's where I got the title of the message, because this really stood out to me. But he answered her not a word. Now, Jesus certainly heard her. I don't believe this is a coincidence that he did not answer her here. You know, so, and his disciples came. So Jesus says nothing. He basically turns his back. You know, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Now, disciples had been walking with Jesus. Man, they had seen him feed thousands, heal the blind, raised dead people. They had seen him do all these things. And I know their heart here. Jesus had a nation to save, and his time had not yet come on the cross. So I understand that. But you would have think, man, one of the disciples could have said, man, let's pray for her. You know, they had the ability to cast out demons. Jesus had given them that power. But no, they were almost annoyed that they'd even come to this point. Just like, man, just get away from me. Get out of here. Lord, heal her. Send her on her way. But God, you know, God's ways are much higher than ours. And God has a purpose here. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost house sheep of Israel. And that's what I refer to. He was saving the nation. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. This morning, the first point this morning, when Jesus doesn't notice us, we worship. When Jesus doesn't worship, we notice. You know, Pastor Rocky, I believe it was last week when he shared about the spies. Think about that. You got 12 spies that go into a land, and you got two that come back. 10 people affected the other two believers for 40 years. It's amazing how being around the wrong people can affect our personal lives. We need to be around faith-believing people. We can't help it when we go places, but it's important, the company we keep and the people that we hang around. So important. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Psalm 100. When David wrote these words, little did he know that these would ever be put in the book of the Bible. And you know, there's no set formula in the Bible. God calls us to pray. He calls us to fast. He calls us to give. He asks us to do all these things. But I can tell you, there's nothing, when we come to the Lord in worship, there's nothing that moves the hand of God like right here. David says in Psalms 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Man, tell me that's not a formula to get into the Lord's presence. Certainly, it is gonna strengthen us and get our focus off of our whatever trial we're going through, whatever that may be. Worship means to have grateful adoration. And one of the definitions I'd give Clarence was to encounter God and to praise him. To me, I just kind of looked at it, you know, several weeks ago, you know how your phone updates and or your passwords are expire. Man, this is a password that never expires. It's the password into his presence. It's, you can get it as much as you want it. Psalm 138, 1 through 3. Psalm 138, 1 through 3. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy mountain and praise your name. For your love and kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Man, tell me, in the day when she cried out, God answered her. God is no respecter of persons. But if you back up there, for you have magnified your word above all your name. That's God speaking, that he esteems his word on the same level as his name. That is amazing. God cannot lie. I mean, when we have this word, our faith sometimes I think is directly, and I believe it's true, is directly tied to how much of this we read and study. I think there's, you know, the more we know scripture, the more we can fight our battles with. I think it's so important. Psalm 95:6. She followed it. She said, 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. This lady at this time was not going to be denied. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. It's funny, I kind of went on some little church websites just to look at this, and it's amazing the people, you know, of course, I'm sure Jesus, we know how compassionate and loving he was, but I can only imagine how he said this, because this is in reference to a household pet. And it's really funny because I got to looking, you know, my mind just went all over the place, but I got to looking at dog food prices and cat food prices. You know, I'll tell you, you know, there's a product called Almas something. It's $40,000 for your dog. But the average money spent per month, depending on the animal, and this does include vet bills or nothing like that, is $150 to $250 a month. Now, I mean, that's quite a bit of money. And he said, I was not sent to the lost sheep, but to the house of Israel. I'm sorry. It is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And he said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's tables. You know, it's funny, growing up, I thought about that. How many of y'all still have a pet that stays in the house? How many of them ever get table food? I know growing up, and you know, and this, I think my mom would testify if she could speak right now. The pets we had in our house ate extremely well. And my last lab that I have at home, I mean, I know we're not maybe not supposed to give dogs, but Little Caesar's Pizza was the key to that dog's life, man. I'm telling you. But animals, man, they're part of our family. And I mean, I've been seeing a chiropractor for my neck here recently and getting some adjustments. And I know some people for that against it, but it's actually really helped me. And so this past Wednesday I go, and lo and behold, a lady brings a dog in, and guess who has to babysit that dog? The dog was 14 years old, and she told me, she said, this is my best friend. Her husband was deceased and passed away. And so this comment to me, you know, there's a lot worse things Jesus could call me right now. He could call me a liar. He could call me an adulterer. There's a lot of things. I'll take a little dog any day of the week. That's a much better than what he has to offer at his feet. But our pets sit at our feet, man, and they're a blessing to us. So this comment right here, I think, is really, really a compliment more than it's meant to be. And plus, he's dealing with the Jewish people back then would call Gentiles, you know, they would call them dogs. That was just a reference back then. So Jesus is fully aware of his settings, and that's the same way we should be. So then she came, Lord, and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. When I had set up my first message, which I think I could have shared better, honestly, than what I'm sharing today, and hopefully you're hearing my heart here, I had read through this and God called this back to my heart right here, because if I have one prayer, I believe the Lord called me to pray from that point forward as I started this message to the day I come to be with him is, Lord, help me. Lord, help me be a better worshiper, a better friend, a better disciple. Help me. I mean, this lady here, she could have got anger. She could have got bitter. She could have got negative. None of that. I believe the reason Jesus had to walk that far, he had to find somebody that wasn't going to come from a negative slant. She was great. She knew anything from that master's table, regardless of what it was, could heal her and set her free, that he had the ability. Now, sometimes we can believe that and it doesn't happen. But I believe maybe some of the reasons our prayers haven't been answered, I think this is a direct way that he has showed us we worship and we pray. I think it's so important, but, you know, Lord, help me. I want to be a better co-worker, and I want to be a better Bible reader. There's nothing that the Lord doesn't want to help me with. And so that's my prayer. I really sense that, you know, that's why he brought me back to this message, because I need him every second of every day, 24/7. As I think about my, you know, I'm on the backside of the football field. I do always, sometimes I think about that hourglass where the sand is, you know, that not only is that for each one of us, because we'll all take that last breath and be with the Lord, but I think about the unbelievers. Man, we never know when that day is going to happen. And, you know, wherever I go or whatever I do, sometimes it may be buying that person a cup of coffee. Sometimes it may be buying them some groceries. You know, sometimes it could be handing somebody out just a, you know, I got an extra devotional. And I had recently handed one out. And, you know, when we're sensitive to God's leading, I had a gentleman here recently. He went to Awana, and he was raised by a single grandmother. He's had a tough time in his life, and me and him just got to sharing, and he shared that heart with me, and I said, man, God's never far away. I said, He wants to bring you back. And so I said, if you don't mind, I said, I guess I'm going to like to share with you. So, you know, get an extra devotional. It doesn't have to be one from here, but I always try to keep one with me. There's always somebody in need. And what I've found is most people, I've had people over the years that will contact me and say, can you get me one? You know, and I won't push it, but I'll offer them the first one. And I'll let God do the rest. But my job is to share the gospel and to encourage people. You know, we all go through seasons of life. I think, you know, we can take that time clock and I can move it on my watch here like I did this morning. Most of the time I keep this on daylight savings time because I love more light at the end of the day. But there's only one God that can move the sun that changes the seasons, and that's our God. So we need to remember that and be mindful of that. And verse 27, and she said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And from that very hour, her daughter was healed. Psalm 54, verse 4. And this is going to be in the New International Version. Here recently, for some reason, I've been reading more so out of that one, getting different, you know, as I like to look at the different one. But I love what it says here. It says, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Psalm 138, verses 6 through 8. Man, I love this version of this right here. It kind of, though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps a distance from the proud. God resist the proud and gives grace to the humble man. May we never forget that. Though I'm surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Psalm 50:15 in the New King James. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. I asked the Lord, I said, you know, you just like when I had to change the message, man, I fought that. And, you know, you is it of God, not of God? And then the confirmation coming through, you know, the animal, and then Rick and Rocky on Wednesday night. But as I continue to walk for the Lord, I realized that I had shared this with Rocky. I don't know who else. R.T. Kendall, who I get to see in New York, he's wrote tons of books. He's been a pastor for 60 plus years. And they asked him what the key to life was. I mean, he's got a doctorate degree. He's got, you know, as far as education, there's not anybody smarter. And he said, well, you want me to break it down in a few seconds? And the guy started laughing. And he said, yeah. He says, read, study, meditate your Bible. He said, forget the degree. He said, pray. And he said, do 21 push-ups. And the guy started asking, he said, well, why 21? He said, because I have to get to at least 20. But he's done his most amazing work at 89 years old for the Lord. And I said, Lord, I said, if I could go back, and I shared this with a younger guy. He's a pastor, and he actually works for the federal government. He just changed position. He actually lives next to Darlene's parents out there in the county. And I asked him, what would he do over? And he's much younger than me, and he says, spend more time with the Lord. So I think as I thought about what he said, if I could go back and change anything, you know, you come out of school, you're programmed to get a job, and you get a house, and you get debt, and you get more debt, and you get more debt. I mean, you know, and it's a heavy burden. If I could go back and encourage any young person that's here today, this word right here, God's words, man, they never fail. You can trust it. He will always bring you out to the other side. The disciples, just back before this, man, Jesus had just walked on the water and calmed a storm. And yet, everything that previous to this, you know, you would have thought, man, they would have been excited to see a lady get down and share words of reverence and faith that they weren't even doing. Maybe that's why they annoyed her a little bit. She had something they didn't. But you know, God will always put those people on our path when we humble ourselves. It's going to teach us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And I'm just grateful that the Lord has really, for me, I'm in a season of life now where it's priority. Nothing else really matters other than God, my family. You know, the job's secondary. God is my provider. We do have to go to work, but God is my provider. And as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, following him, you know, there's going to be people that dislike you. You know, we're called to be honest and share the truth. You know, I love it said one time, you know, when we share the truth, we're not judging people. I fall short every day and I acknowledge that, but I also acknowledge that the last scripture I'm going to share, how much it means to me, because I come to God unmercifully every day, many times, just saying, Lord, man, I should have said that better. You know, I didn't share something maybe I should have shared about the gospel. You know, it's amazing how, you know, and I don't have to tell you, but if you're in the workplace, man, it can be hostile. There's so many different environments, so many different walks of life. But you know, we don't know their background, and God is always working. But you know, sharing the good news with somebody, you know, it's just like when I go to pick out a piece of fruit. It can be overripe, it can be underripe, or it can be just ripe. Which, you know, I'm not judging it, but I'm going to buy what's correct. You know, we want to just be, you know, we want to share the word of God and be honest. And you know, if somebody has something to say back, you know, I'm free for somebody to inspect my life. I think it's, you know, it's an open book. You know, it's before God, so I might as well lay it before him every day and every night before I put my head on the pillow. So, surely God is my help. Hebrews 4:16. So I do want to encourage you older people to start doing some push-ups. He's an amazing man. I've really, really over the years, but this past 6 months, I have watched so many of his YouTube shorts. And it's just, you know, just the skills of life. He's going to churches and he thought he had something absolutely right according to the word of God. And he said, man, I had it wrong. And here's a guy who has pastored for 60 years and he's still learning. Such an encouragement. Hebrews 4:16. It's a very, very, we say it all the time. And Clarence, can we back up to verse 14? Can you do that? I'll start there if you can. I thank God for Clarence. I try to get it to him early. And Friday night, I texted him and I said, I'll get it to you in the morning. But, stuff just kept coming to my mind, and I said, okay, Lord, you know, I want to get these scriptures in, so just give me Godspeed time here. But I'll start Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Can you imagine when she is crying out to him? And begging for mercy. She's not even asking for it. She's just saying, Lord, have compassion on me. I mean, she's just crying out. She knows, man, she, just like us, God knows our weaknesses. So we might as well confess them and be real with him. He says, and Jesus was in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin. And I love this here because when we come to the throne of grace, think about the throne of grace. You can go to any throne, England, you can go anywhere. You're not going to get in to see the king. you may get a pass in hand or wave at him in his car. You're not going to get to the throne room, but we do. The Bible says, he says, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Despite your weaknesses, despite your hangups, despite your failures, come boldly to the throne of grace. Those thoughts, the negative things we say, when we get it wrong, he says, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. To get mercy, you can't be righteous. We're only in right standing through the Lord. This right here, Jesus, they're coming to him saying, okay, Lord, yes, you know, I'm a sinner. I'm right here. I'm not in the right standing. It's only by your mercy and grace that I'm going to get help in time of need. You know, Jesus, when he brought this back to my attention, could you imagine having the Savior right there with you and seeing what he saw? And yet, if we were to ask Peter, who was murdering Christians, about the love and the grace of God, I thought about that. Peter, the liar, about the love of God. How about Thomas, the doubter? Man, God's love, mercy, and compassion. And then he used them. I mean, that to me is just amazing that God gives grace to the humble. You know, as I close out the message this morning, I wonder, as I go back to Matthew 15, healing, mercy, grace, you know, this morning, you know, for God so loved the world that he forgive. I won't go into detail. It stuck out to me. Years ago, we had a young man that was mysteriously had a death, and that their family was a part of the church. And I can remember me and her talking in the hallway, and she said, I'll never forgive whoever did that. And they never really found out the reason for his death, but that's a hard thing to carry. God calls us to forgive. It's not optional. You know, when we forgive the people that hurt us, feel bad about us. I mean, if you're married, you know, it's almost every day we don't get it right. We could ask for forgiveness of our spouses. But when we come to the throne room of God's grace, man, God, new mercies every day. He wants to do something, this new beginning, a fresh beginning every day. And as we're changing into the seasons right now, into warmer weather, which I mean, you know, God has a sense of humor. I've worked in cold my whole life. Yes, 30 degrees in the cooler. You know, the prep room was 55, and I love the heat. I mean, I hang out with my son and family, wife, you know, and friends at the lake, and I can go to the outer. I mean, it can be 100 degrees, and it doesn't bother me. I love it. But I have a picture on my phone. If I pulled it up, you can see it. And I for me, the sunlight in the water, I love the reflection of the sun coming off the water. And I keep that. You can't see it from here, but I have a reception. I got my coffee and my flip-flops. And that's early morning. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. It went off. But to me, that's the Lord's reflection and his warmth. Amen. And that's what I love as far as the summertime goes. And I thank God for that. That's a gift for me that he's reminding me. You know, in those cold months, you know, sometimes when things are dormant, you know, prayers aren't being answered, but we're to stay faithful. And that light will shine through brightly, just like it did for right here. She worshiped the Lord. She come to the Lord in faith and said, Lord, help me. That's all he wants us to do. Isn't that the most simplest prayer? So for any need this morning, as I close in prayer, Carmel, if you want to play something this morning. I know maybe we're a little fast this morning, Brother Mark. We could talk about ice cream. We did buy some yesterday. The devil made me do it. No, I'm just kidding. But this morning, I don't know what you're in need of this morning, but I believe certainly God is here, and he wants to do something in your life, maybe in your family's life this morning, in your way. You know, there's nothing, you know, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So this morning, I know for myself as I close in prayer, if you need prayer this morning, you want to come to the altar for any need. Brother Mark, if you would like to come up and pray and lead maybe this morning, just to close out a need. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe your finances this morning. Maybe your marriage is not where it needs to be. This morning, if you're in need of anything, don't leave here. Let's go by the foreigner, the outsider, who was willing to humble herself before the feet of Jesus and give him what he deserves. And man, out of our weaknesses, man, the crumbs from his table can do more than we could ever ask or think, according to his riches and glory by the word of God. Father, right now, Lord, your word is so powerful, Lord. God, you're so awesome. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Not only, Lord, did you shed your blood for us, Father, but, Lord, you make a way in the desert for us, Lord. Father, you help us. Lord, you bless us. Lord, you fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Father, your joy, Lord, can fill our heart despite what's going on in the world, despite what's going on in our families, despite what's going on enough, Lord. Father, joy goes way beyond happiness this morning, Lord. And Father, I don't necessarily, Lord, have ever done an altar call, Lord, but I'm just asking this morning, if somebody's in desperate need of a mighty move to you, Lord, Father, they would humble themselves and you would meet that need. Lord, you're here, you're ready. Lord, we just want to open up and freely see. So, Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that anything that I said, Lord, would fall on good ground. Lord, you would multiply it 100-fold. Lord, anything that I said that just doesn't need to be remembered, Lord, Father, that it would be quickly forgotten, Lord. Father, but I do thank you, Lord, for how much you love us here this morning, Lord. Father, and a million praises and a million tongues would never be enough to say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come this morning. If you need healing, you need a financial breakthrough, anything you need this morning, Brother Mark is going to lead us in prayer. Come to the throne this morning. The altar's open. I'll let God have his way.